Morning. It's good to see each and every one of you here with us as we come to worship God. If you're visiting with us, we are happy that you have come our way. I invite you to come back whenever you're in the area to worship with us once again. A couple of things before we get to the lesson this morning. If you haven't already picked up a bulletin, I encourage you to pick one up on the way out, or maybe you I sent it out by email to the congregation. Maybe that's how you got it. But I encourage you to be looking at it, reading through it, and using it. A couple of new things in it, not just the size and everything. There's more space on the back if you want to take notes. I know some of you are note takers. But as we've mentioned before, with the prayer list that's in that, if you would do me a favor, and if you have anything to add to it, go ahead and send an email to the address that's listed at the bottom of that page, newscocbhr@gmail.com. If you would do that, and then we can make the changes to this. The other thing you might notice is on the bottom of the inside, if you're on Facebook, look us up on Facebook. Like us, follow us. This is going to be a tool that I plan on using for several different things. One is a way to reach out to the community. And so as we become more back to normal with things, it'll be a way to send things out into the community. You know, when gospel meetings start coming back around, those kinds of things, we get that out there. And so it's evangelistic, but it's also going to be something that I'm going to use to send out encouraging verses and things like that. And maybe, just maybe, I haven't gotten my head around this yet, do a little bit of a vlog on Facebook every week. Going to try to do that. My family is trying to say, hey, you need to start a podcast. I'm like, no, we'll get there. But I might have like a recorded message every so often on the page. So encourage you, look us up. By the way, there's another one that says, it says Church of Christ and it has our address. Ignore that one. That's the old one. We can't figure out where it came from. The new one that has the branding on it and things like that. Look it up, okay? I think that's it. Oh, the other thing. Men's Bible class, monthly Bible class tomorrow night at my house at 7 o'clock. Remember that. That's also announced in the bulletin. Okay, so we started out this year with a theme. And what we're doing on the fourth Sunday, which is typically the last Sunday, we are talking about that theme. That theme comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and verse 9 through verse 12, and we've entitled it, Not Easily Broken. Because if you look at the verse, this is what Solomon says from the New Living Translation. He says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person fails, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can't keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Simply put, when we look at Solomon's statement, what he is saying is that we were created for community. God made us relational beings because God himself is a relational being. The picture that Solomon demonstrates or shows us in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 is that of a cord or that of a rope. And the more strands that rope has, as they are related to each other and close to each other, the stronger that rope will become. And it will be more unlikely to fail when it is needed. That's what our goal is throughout this year, is to talk about things that will help us to build better relationships. But I think we have to look and examine before we could go further this morning the question about whether all relationships are equal. And I'm not talking about different types of relationships. I mean, as we go out, we have different types of relationships, levels of relationships, they call. From someone you might just say hi to that you're an acquaintance with, to someone that you are intimate with and you can share and they can share and you don't judge, but you accept. While that's true, that's not what I'm looking at, because all of those kinds of relationships in and of themselves have certain degrees of how well they work. You know, for example, there are good and healthy relationships. And the Bible talks a lot about good and healthy relationships and what they do for us. Well, when we look at good and healthy relationships, they encourage our growth. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpen another. In other words, when we interact with each other and sometimes even have a clash, those things can work for our growth because we re-examine ourselves and we maybe make some changes, some alterations. Good and healthy relationships establish purpose to life and meaning to life. Jesus says that we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. When we look at what life is, then I become more dedicated to love and to serve others. Good and healthy relationships can decrease our stress and our anxiety and can increase the level of our joy in life. Again, going back to Proverbs chapter 27 and in verse 9, oil and perfume make the heart glad, and so does the sweetness of a friend that comes from his earnest counsel. Our friends and the relationship we have and the counsel that they give can give us joy each and every day. We talk about how it gives us strength to endure. Proverbs 18:24, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And I think those are the kinds of relationships that we should endeavor to create as far as we can contribute to relationships. But we have to acknowledge that there are some relationships that are strained. Some relationships that struggle. There are relationships that are neglected. There are relationships that are weak. And there are some relationships that are even considered toxic and destructive. How do we deal with relationships? Well, that's what we're talking about this year, isn't it? And what we're going to be doing and talking about building better relationships, we're going to talk about how we can do that with brethren and how we do that with the lost and with our spouses and with our families and with our friends. But the starting point where we started last month and we continue today is talking about how do we build a better relationship, a more intimate relationship, a closer relationship with God. Why is this the starting point? Why do we begin here? I think there's a couple of reasons why we begin here. Because every human relationship, even if it's healthy and it's good and it's strengthening and it does all those things that we talked about, even those relationships can struggle from time to time. Because we're all fallible human beings. But when we want to talk about the gold standard of relationships, we're talking about the kind of relationship that we can have with God and God can have with us because God is perfect. And so our relationships with people, sometimes they can get frustrating. They point us back to God's never frustrating. And then the second thing is, when we enhance our relationship with God, then of necessity, our relationship with other people becomes enhanced. Because we love God, Matthew 22, verse 37, with all of our being. And the result of that is that we love our neighbor as ourselves. So what does it look like to have a closer relationship with God, to have a better relationship with God. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. What Paul calls Corinth to do is what he calls us to do, and that is that we need to look and examine our faith and see where our faith is, and if it is what we want it to be, or if it is coming up short. I want to answer that question about what does a good relationship with God look like from two different perspectives. I want to start by looking at the negative perspective. And then I want to turn and look at the positive perspective and then give us some takeaways so that we can implement them in our lives for a better relationship. So if we want to talk about how do I know I have a good, close relationship with God from a negative perspective, here's the dangers that we need to be aware of. There's a danger of using our feelings and our emotions as a standard for a good relationship. It is a dangerous thing to say, well, you know, I went to services and I had a really good experience at services, or I went and someone said this to me today and it just really made me think about God, so therefore I have a good relationship with God. What we're dealing with in that subject is the reverse of what it should be. Feelings don't produce a relationship, because the feelings can deceive us, can't they? Feelings can communicate to us that we have something better than what we actually did. I mean, it's interesting in the marital realm, if you look at husbands and wives and how they view their relationships, some of the professionals say you can ask the husband what the relationship is like, and he would say, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, my relationship is an 8. You go and you ask the wife, and she's like, really? 8? It's more like a 5. And the reality is, you want to know who's more accurate? It's the wife. Because the husband, the way he perceives the feelings and the emotions, might not necessarily communicate the truth. You know, there might be a hot meal on the table, or, you know, she looks at him and he just kind of views it as like, wow, everything's wonderful. And it might not be that way at all, because she's the one who is more in tune with relational needs. The reality is, a faithful relationship results in emotional experience. If we are close to God and we're walking with God, then yeah, we're going to feel the emotions as a result, not as the thing that promotes or establishes a relationship. The second thing that's a negative is the danger of using religious exercise or tradition as a standard for a good relationship. You know, our checklist of, okay, I'm a good Christian because I check, 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 check. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 20, unless your righteousness exceeds the scribes and the Pharisees, it's got to be better than that. And that's not him saying check, because that's what the Pharisees and scribes were doing. They were checking. And so we have to be careful of the things that might communicate a false relationship, but then focus on the things that communicate a good relationship. What does it look like? There's a lot of passages that we can look to. I'll just give you just this one kind of as a thought or as a theme for this, and that's in Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Oftentimes I've looked at those two thoughts as incredible thoughts, but actually separate thoughts. I'm taking a new look at that. I think those things are connected.
He calls us to be a living sacrifice. But how do I become a living sacrifice? I become a living sacrifice when my thoughts are His thoughts and my ways are His ways. When I sacrifice self and put self aside and think about Him. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, my ways become His ways is don't be conformed to this world. His will to become my will is discern God's will. So we live our lives, if we have a close relationship with God, where my ways and my thoughts, they don't start from within me and within my will. They start from God's will. And I start to look at everything through the prism of how does God view this? What does God want me to do in this situation? That's what He's calling us to. Put it simply in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, is to be conformed to the image of Christ. Isn't that what Christ did? Not my will, but Your will. Came to do what God wanted Him to do. So how do we develop a good, close relationship with God where His ways and His thoughts become mine? They lead my life. Last month we talked about trusting God. Today we're going to look at just the beginning of James 4 and verse 8. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. That's the goal, isn't it? Being close to God. But you look at that, the idea of drawing near. James says it a different way earlier in the book. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. I call this an intentional faith. To live an intentional life. What do we mean by intentional? That's kind of a popular catchphrase today. To be intentional. Being intentional means to take a step back and evaluate what you're doing. And if you're living your life on cruise control, to take off cruise control and start making daily decisions that are based on and out of your beliefs. Now that sounds really good, doesn't it? Every day, commit our hearts to God. Every day, commit our lives to God. That sounds great. That sounds wonderful. I imagine if I said, is that what you want? Everyone would raise their hands. But how do we do it? Practically speaking, how do we put it into practice? That's hard. That takes being intentional. Let me give you two main points, and then several subpoints. And I mean several subpoints, I mean several subpoints. Not a lot. I once heard a sermon. Beth and I were visiting a congregation when we were on vacation, and the guy put up his overhead and it had point one, and it was the smallest font possible that you barely read. And we're just like, oh, this is going to be a long sermon. And it was like 30 points. I was like, okay, I'm not going to do that. So I'm not going to give you 30. Maybe 29. Okay, so let's talk about intentional choices. Making His way my way. Actually, it's just a handful. What do we do? Choose to meet with God. If you want to get closer with God and draw near to Him and for Him to draw near to you, choose to meet with Him. Be intentional about it. I think sometimes we kind of do it just half-heartedly in our relationship with God. But I would communicate and encourage you to be intentional. What I mean by that is establish a time for you to do something like read the Bible or to study the Bible or to meditate on the Bible or to pray. Choose a time and guard that time. In other words, don't let anything encroach on that time and rob that time. Well, that might mean that you have to make adjustments, but those adjustments will benefit you in the long run. I like what the psalmist says, Psalm 63 and verse 1. Oh God, you are my God. King James Version says, early I seek you. ESV says, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. To seek God earnestly. How do you do that? Maybe you do something like, before you do anything else in the day, before you meet with anyone, think about any other task or responsibility that you have. Take some time. Read. And then maybe, it doesn't have to be a one of type of thing, maybe before you close out the day, wouldn't that be a great way to do it, kind of bookend your day to start off thinking about dwelling on God and then ending the day that way? Like I said, it's reading the Bible. That's a way to do it. And when I say reading the Bible, it's not reading the Bible and I want to get all of the meat out of it. Sometimes it's good just to read. And then there's sometimes it's good to study. Sometimes it's good just to meditate. Pick one verse and think about that verse. Write out that verse. And all through the day, think about that verse. Keep coming back to it. Asking, what does this verse mean? What's this application to me today? God, I want to know these things. Take time for prayer, because prayer makes us like Him. Prayer exercises our spiritual senses, and I like this. Prayer humbles our elevated attitudes and elevates our broken spirits. It puts us in the right frame of mind. And so, the very first step in intentional living is choose to meet with God. Go into His presence. And do it one way. Do it another way. And enjoy that time. But don't let anything get in the way of that time. If that's 6 a.m. for you, say 6 a.m., to 6:30 a.m., nothing else matters. I'm just going to focus on this. But there's other things that we can do. We could choose to serve others, to practice humility. Serving is finding practical ways to show other people they matter. And you say, how does that help us to build our relationship with God? It's based out of our relationship with God, to think of and to treat others as Jesus treated them in Philippians chapter 2, that we're to think of them higher than ourselves. In John chapter 13, Jesus, who is the Master, who is the Savior, He gets down and He washes the feet of the disciples. They had a hard time with that. And yet Jesus, at the end of it, He says, you understand what I did? If so, you do this to each other or for each other. How do we serve? What needs do people need to be met? Might not be a big thing. It might be a little thing. Call them up. Say, how are you doing? Send them a card. Go visit. Maybe not quite yet. We'll get there. Offer to take a meal. Offer to take them out. Offer to go to coffee. They have kids. Offer to babysit. Serve others. Do for each other. Choose to live, to love, excuse me, love others. We know as Christians that in the Greek there are several different types of love that are mentioned. The one that we focus on so often, and rightly so, is agape love. Mentioned over some 200 times in Scripture. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, by this is love perfected. 4, verse 7, excuse me. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever loves, get that, has been born of God and knows God. He goes on and continues talking about love. What is agape love? It is doing what's in the best interest of what you love or who you love. To esteem them higher, to do what they need. How's that look practically?
1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. It's being patient when it's hard to be patient. It's being kind. It's being one that doesn't envy or does not boast, one who's not arrogant or rude, one that does not insist on their own way, or is irritable or resentful, one that rejoices, that believes, bears, hopes, endures. So that kind of love, the kind of love that we're called to as Christians, is not born just out of emotions. It might start sometimes in emotions. It's not just born just out of familiarity or attraction, but it is a love from the will, a love from choice. Choose to be thankful. You know, there's so many things in our lives that are beyond our control. We just kind of like along for the ride. Sometimes the unexpected happens, and it could be good and it could be bad. We don't get to choose those circumstances. But what we do get to choose is our attitude and our response to those circumstances. We can choose to look at the unfortunate, the circumstances, and feel overwhelmed or beaten down. We could choose to let them take over our lives and our feelings, or we could choose to give God thanks even in the most difficult of times. Psalm 28, verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts and I am helped. My heart exults and with my song I give thanks to him. Choose to be thankful. Even when your natural inclination is to be complaining, be thankful. Choose the 4:8 principle. You might recognize this from the bulletin a couple of weeks ago, Philippians 4, verse 8. What is it finally, brothers? Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What I mean by that is make a choice of what you put into your lives. Make sure it's good. Make sure it's wholesome. Make sure it's pure. Make sure it's those things of Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Make the choice if you need to repent. If there's unresolved sin in your life, that will keep you spiritually distant from God. On Thursday nights, we're looking at the parable of the prodigal son. The prodigal son goes off into a far country, out from his father's influence, to do whatever it is that he wanted to do without his father standing over him and being like a father should. And you know what happened to that man? His life became so far removed from what he grew up knowing he should be doing that eventually he makes the decision to go back to the Father. His choices had separated him from the love, from the wisdom, and from the goodness of his Father. And he needed to get back to that. There's an unresolved sin in your life. It's keeping you distant from God. And there's nothing that you can do besides repenting and confessing it to God that will change that. And then lastly, choose to remember. Choose to remember. Psalm 77, verse 11. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I'm not a journaler. I'll admit that. I'm not a journaler. I've mentioned that before, that my sister got me one, and I know exactly where it's at. And there's been a lot of times where I've thought about journaling and starting. But that aside, this is one of those do as I say, don't do as I do moments here. And that is, I would encourage you to write things down. Write it down, what God has done. Remember it. Write down your prayers. Write down God's answer to your prayers. Write down the positive moments in your life where you see the hand of God. Write down
your favorite verse or verses. Write down your song, the hymn that moves you. Choose to remember him. That's intentional choices that we can make every day to meet with God, serve others, love others, to be thankful, to think about the right things, to repent when necessary, and to remember what God has done, what his deeds are. But all that takes some intentional attitudes. Real quick, what they are. Number one, be understanding. You're not going to be perfect. One step at a time. One day at a time. Be content. Your progress might be slow. The disciples were with Jesus, and they said to him at one point, Lord, increase our faith. Their development was slow, and that's okay. Be content with that. A little step every day. Be steadfast. Don't give up. If you set aside your time and something happens, don't give up. Start again. You know, back in the under the law of Moses, with the Levitical oath, the priestly oath. I've lost the word here. Samson took it. Samson's parents. Say that again. I can't hear. There's a mask on. Nazarite. Thank you. Someone just asked me a couple weeks ago, what's the difference between the Nazarite vow and someone from Nazareth? We had that discussion. But Nazarite, thank you so much. You realize that when they took the Nazarite vow, God allowed for failure and would give them the option. And so one of the things was, you weren't supposed to come into contact with the dead body, but if you by chance did come into contact with the dead body while you were in the Nazarite vow, he allowed you to start over. That's a great thing, isn't it? If you fail in doing something to grow closer to God, he allows you to start over. Be steadfast. Be courageous. Replace the lies that you've heard with the truth. The truth is, you can do it. You can have a close relationship with God. His ways and his will, they can become your ways and your will. And then lastly, be open. Don't be afraid to look. Take an honest assessment where you've been, where you are, and where you want to be. If where you are is that you're doing well in your relationship with God, then be thankful and be humble. But if you're struggling in your relationship with God, seek his strength. But if you're in sin, what you need to do is to seek his forgiveness. Not easily broken. We go through a lot in this life. I can't imagine what life would be like after being married for 25 years without my wife. At the same time, I can't imagine what life would be like without the perfect Heavenly Father by my side. I can't imagine that. I don't understand. I can't comprehend how people do that every day. I don't get it. Because I need him. I need him every day. And so I try to live intentionally, building my trust in him. And I would encourage you to do that as well. But maybe there is sin in your life today and you need his forgiveness. Maybe you haven't become a Christian and you need to do that. We stand ready, prepared to help you. If you want to be baptized this morning, become a Christian, become a child of God, now is an opportunity. Why not make that choice? Be intentional. Say, I'm going to commit my life to God.
If we can help you, we invite you to come forward while we stand and sing this song.